Introduction to today. I don't know how to use a computer well enough to look up stuff like she does, and all I know is that Memorial Day tomorrow is the last Sunday of every May, and it's set aside to recognize and to honor our servicemen who have died in the active duty to keep us free. And so I want to, first of all, thank those of you who have served our country in the armed forces. We've got Lindsay, who is in the Air National Guard right now. Doug has been in the service for us. Anybody else? Is there any other veterans? Kathy, thank you. We don't show our appreciation enough for those who have gone and served our country. And basically that's what they did, was laid down their life for us. Just many of them have. You know, you've all got probably family members and loved ones who are friends who have died in the service. I had a lot of friends, classmates, and so on that didn't come back from Vietnam. And so there's a lot of people that we know that have died in making our country free. You know, without this freedom of religion that we have, this chance we have of coming here and worshiping together without fear of harm, it's awesome. We don't know what it's like to live in a Muslim country or a Hindu country where they don't tolerate Christianity. But we take it for granted. So I thank you guys for all that you've done to help keep our country free and to keep it a godly country. And so that's why we pray for our leaders, that God will give them wisdom and lead them in the ways that they should go. So I titled the lesson today, A Servant's Heart. I got to looking at that verse that Jen was talking about, no greater love has this for a man that he lay down his life for a friend. So that's what a servant does. And so we're going to be looking at some scriptures today that talk to us about servanthood, about being a servant in the world. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started. Father, I thank you for, first of all, for our servicemen and women, Lord, that are currently serving, the ones who are going to be serving, and the ones who have served, Lord, and came back. We thank you for Doug and Kathy and any of the others of our body, Lord, who are veterans for Stan, Lord, veterans of some of the wars that took place where they laid down their lives to keep us free. And we thank you, Lord, for their service, for what they've done for America. So Lord, I asked you today, Lord, to speak through your word, speak through me, Lord. Let me not say anything that would be harmful, Lord, but that would lift the body of Christ up. And speak through me and don't allow me to get in your way, but give us ears to hear, Lord, what you're saying to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin today in Matthew 20. So, most of the verses that I found that have to do with servants come out of the New Testament today. So, we're going to be mostly in the New Testament. Matthew 20, and beginning at verse 20, going down through 28. Matthew 20, beginning at verse 20. So this is where Mary, the mother of John, and James, two of the disciples, came to Jesus. And it was, says Jesus in verse 20, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? Jesus asked, and she said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup that I am going to drink? We can, they answered. So he's here with his disciples. And that's when Mary came and asked, or the mother of Zebedee, it wasn't necessarily Mary, but the mother of Zebedee's sons came to ask for that favor that they could sit on right and left of Jesus. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers, and Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. So he says, if you want to be great, you have to be a servant. That's all through the New Testament. He talks about being a servant, about serving, about using your talents or your gift to serve others. And so, and he says, he goes on to say in verse 27, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So, Jesus came. He was God. He could have come wanting to be served, but he didn't. He came to serve. And you'll see all through his life in the New Testament there, in each of the Gospels, how he was out with the people. He was among them, serving the needs that they had. He was healing. He was feeding them, healing them, whatever they needed. He was there to help with that. So this is probably the best example of servanthood that I could find. I want to go to Acts chapter 20. There's another one. So Acts chapter 20. This is where Paul was meeting with the elders. Let's begin in 17 of chapter 20. It says, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. So he stopped here in Miletus on his way. I think he's on his way to Jerusalem for Pentecost. And it says, when the elders arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears. And although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. So he knows that he's going there to be arrested. He knows that the Jews have been after him since he Because you all know the story of Saul and Paul, how he, when he was Saul, he was one of the Jewish leaders, one of those who went and persecuted the Christians. But then when Jesus found him on the road to Damascus and turned his life around, and he began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they didn't like him anymore, and they were trying to find something against Paul. So in verse 25, he says, "Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after him or after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 days, I never stopped warning you, or 3 years, I mean, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" So, as servants of God, we have a call to do whatever we can in the kingdom of God, or do whatever we can in the world, for that matter. We're called to let our lights shine. I sang that little song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." So wherever you go, whatever you do, let your light shine for Jesus. Tell someone about Jesus as you go. And tell someone, even if you just tell them your testimony, how you have changed and how you've gone from darkness into light. But I read this one because he tells us to keep watch over one another, keep watch over the flock. He was talking to the elders here of the church. And that's why I guess this one means so much to me, because he's called me to be an elder and to lead the church. And that's part of serving the church. And so it's awesome how God has set up the plan for each one of us to be a servant. I want to go now to 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter 4. There's just a couple things here in 1 Peter that I want to look at. First Peter 4, I'm going to begin in with 7 to 11. So, this whole chapter is talking about living for God, doing what He wants. And in verse 7, it says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." So you all know that each one of us has a gift, and probably all of our gifts are different. We don't all have the same gift, because it's like that part that talks about the parts of the body coming together and working together, and how we're all different, but we're all needed. Each one of our gifts is different. But if we use the gift that God has given us to serve others, then that's how God's kingdom works. That's how He makes things work. So he said, if anyone speaks, I'm in verse 11 now. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We have a lot of servants here at Open Arms. You guys are all willing to serve where you're needed, and each one of you does your part, and I thank God for that. But I think of some who are hardly ever recognized. Alan sits up there week after week after week and just takes care of this kind of stuff, making sure stuff's on the board that needs to be. And thank you, Alan. We appreciate that. I just wanted to say thank you for that. I think of Renee, who's here every week, getting out our communion every morning when I come in. She's back there getting stuff ready for us to take communion together. Thank you, Renee, for that. Those of you who help with the music, it's just, it's amazing how you'll come early every Sunday morning and spend time practicing the songs, learning, or doing them so that we can sing with you responsibly. And it's awesome that you're willing to take that effort, make that effort. Jen, Doug, Jamie, Julie, Bill, all of you who have a part in that, we thank you. And then Julie, thank you for all that you do. It's just, the elders really depend on Julie a lot. She keeps us on our toes and keeps us going in the right direction a lot of times. And we thank you for all that you do for the church, Julie. And she keeps it cleaned for us. She keeps just puts out fires and takes care of things all over the place. So that we're thankful. And for any of you that I failed to mention, thank you for all that you do. I appreciate all of you who come for Sunday school on Sunday mornings, who share in our adult Sunday school class and the youth Sunday school class. It's just, we have went from having a very vital and full children's Sunday school to not hardly having any children here at all. And I would like to remedy that. I would love to have some families come back that have small children. We actually lost Courtney and Sam Reeve because they wanted a place for their children to have other children with them in Sunday school. And so they found another church that has children. And that's sad that we don't have that. So if you would pray with me that God will bring in families with children again, because we're really lacking young children. As you look around, Levi, you've got the youngest ones here today, and yours are growing up already. So it's something that the church has to have. We have to have children to be able to keep that vibrancy, that spontaneity that the church needs. It's just part of the church that we need desperately. I want to finish up today over in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, so that you're already there in 1 Peter. I want to begin in verse 5 of 1 Peter 5. And he says, young men, a reason I didn't start at the beginning of the chapter, because the beginning of the chapter is again for shepherds, for pastors. And he starts here with, he says, well, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. So give God the glory for the grace that He has given us. He's the one who has given each one a gift. He's the one who taught us how to serve and how to be servants to one another. So as the praise team comes for a final song today, if any of you have a prayer need this morning, well, I'll be here to pray with you. Again, thank you for serving. Thank you for being a part of the body here and being willing to do whatever God calls you to do, because that's what keeps the body of Christ in operation. That's what keeps it working. So as we stand, sing our final song, if any of you have a prayer need, just come and we'll pray with you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.